Jen, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffitz, Wendy Snyder. On Fridays, we talk to Alex Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. He's here right now. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine. I know that we talk TV with you, Alex. I know you're not a gossip columnist per se, but maybe you know a little something about this. What do all the ladies in Hollywood and New York see in Pete Davidson? What exactly is going on there?
I don't see it. I don't understand it.
Wendy, what is it?
I don't know what it is, but I absolutely love him. I was watching him on SNL last weekend, and I go, I love him. And my husband goes, why?
Yeah.
Not criticizing, but just saying why.
He's funny. There's no question about it.
I think he's adorable. I feel bad for him. I feel I could help him. He seems fun.
That's what it is.
I think
that every woman... And the age range is spectacular. I'll get into that in a second. But every woman who comes near him has, I think, Wendy, what you just said, I can come to his aid. I can make things better for him, for Pete Davidson. What do you think, Alex? True or not true?
I don't think they can make things better for Pete Davidson. But I do think that's what it is. He has a very cute, precocious young face. He has those big eyes, and he always looks so happy about everything.
Yeah.
But it seems like, it would be nice to hang out with him. We'd have a nice time.
Yeah.
I could really dress him in some nice clothes and clean up his hair.
Yeah.
But it never happens.
He's now dating Cindy Crawford's daughter. You know this, right?
I know you're just jealous of him. That's not what it is.
It's not jealousy.
Who's Who list is pretty impressive.
In the last couple of years, he has dated Larry David's daughter, Cassie. Then after that, it was Ariana Grande. Then after that, it was Kate Beckinsale. Then it was Andy McDowell's daughter, who's an actress.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Qualley.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was Pussycat in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And now it's Cindy Crawford's daughter. That's an interesting couple of years.
It feels like he's trying to do some sort of weird celebrity bingo card or something like that. I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
He is not well. He suffers from depression. He smokes a lot of weed. He has Crohn's disease. He's not doing very well. I mean, so,
not according to that list I just read, Wendy.
Well, I just...
And I left some names off. Betty White, for a while.
I could actually see that. That one would last.
Yes. Yes. So there's some magic to him. You know who he reminds me of? Remember the guy that was on That 70s Show?
Topher Grace?
No.
Masterson?
No, the guy who dated... Yeah, that guy who dated...
Wilderama. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think something that joins them together, not to take it too seriously, but they both come off as very nice guys, and everything that we've heard about both of them is that people just really like spending time with them.
Yes.
So that's ultimately what it comes down to. That's what love is all about.
Is that if,
you both sound jealous now.
Alex, be honest. Are we jealous? We're not jealous. We're just concerned.
No, you're curious.
I'm happy with my life. I'm fine. I'm not jealous.
God, Cindy Crawford's daughter has a name, first of all.
It's just Cindy Crawford's daughter.
And she's just beautiful because
she looks just like Cindy Crawford. Yeah. Yep. Hmm. Yep.
Well, good for him. I hope
good
it lasts.
Good for him. Daybreak, Alex. What is Daybreak? And can I watch it with Pete Davidson? Would he come to my house and watch that with me?
He would love it. He would love to sit down, hold your hand, make you some popcorn. Daybreak is a new series that actually hit on Netflix on Thursday. They're starting to move around the release schedule a little bit. It's still crazy packed that they release on Fridays, but they're starting to release shows on Thursdays and Wednesdays, et cetera, et cetera. This one is a bizarre zombie apocalypse series. The idea is that a bomb drops on Greendale in California and turns all of the adults into zombies, but all the teens are left alive, and they immediately turn it into this Mad Max futuristic wasteland. Matthew Broderick is in it. He's the principal of a high school in flashbacks, and it basically plays off of that and is sort of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but with zombies.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. I honestly didn't love the first episode. I watched the first episode of it, but I did appreciate the ambition of it.
Yeah.
And I think particularly for that, it feels, if you want to watch Matthew Broderick in a weird zombie comedy,
worth
checking out just for that.
I like Matthew Broderick.
Is this influenced in any way by Riverdale? I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but sometimes shows that have the teenage point of view remind me of each other. Is that kind of similar to Riverdale or not?
This is actually based on a comic, a very little-known comic that not a lot of people read. But I think, to your point, there was a couple of years ago after Riverdale season one debuted on the CW, it did okay. You know, it was a little bit of a sensation, but it bubbled under the surface. Then it went on Netflix, and it went huge on Netflix. And then the second season actually doubled the ratings from the first season. And I think what's happened since then is not only is the CW and other broadcast networks trying to reproduce Riverdale, but Netflix has very actively said, okay, we're going to make our own Riverdale. And they have a lot of shows like that. So to your point, Daybreak actually features Cody Kearsley, who played Moose Mason on Riverdale in one of the main roles. So I think that's very apt. Like, it's not the same concept. It's not the same feel. But they're definitely trying to go for that audience that if you watched Riverdale, maybe you'll like this as well.
I saw that there's a new teaser for season two of Umbrella Academy. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, we don't really have much news of it yet, but they are actively filming it and developing it. Presumably it should be on sometime next year. And that was a pretty huge hit for Netflix, and I think it's one that's only going to build as it goes into the second season.
All right, I need you to go back to gossip columnist once again for me.
Oh, boy.
Put the TV hat aside and go with the gossip columnist hat for just a second. Last night was the season premiere of Will and Grace. I thought it was very, very funny. I've always enjoyed the show. I thought they picked up right where they left off. But now I'm reading today that Megan Mullally is no longer going to be a part of the show, or she's taken a brief sabbatical. There's been rumors that she's fighting with other cast members. What do you know about this?
Yeah, she's going to be in missing out on two of the episodes in season 11. Certainly, a lot of folks are tying that to the rumors of the behind-the-scenes feud that she's potentially having with Deborah Messing. We don't really know many of the details. They're not being very open about it. But certainly, that seems to be the closest tie that you can make, because otherwise, why would she be leaving for those episodes?
Right.
It's a show with four people on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Regardless, the show is wrapping up. She's going to be there for the majority of the episodes, and she should be there for the final season as
well. Okay, that's solid news. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with Alex Zelbin in just a second, the managing editor of Decider.com, and quite the gossip columnist, we're finding out. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alex Zelbin. Comes on Friday and talks about television, what's going on in the world of TV. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. BoJack Horseman, Alex, what is that? Where is that?
BoJack Horseman is an animated comedy on Netflix. It's actually entering its sixth and final season, the first half of which dropped today. The second half won't come on until January, I believe. It's phenomenal if you never checked it out. It comes from, well, actually, wouldn't know any of the creators of BoJack Horseman, but it's about a depressed horse in Hollywood who formerly was a huge TV star back in the 80s, sort of like on a Full House style show, and is trying to recapture his fame now. There's very precise, very weird Hollywood commentary throughout. It deals very actively with depression and mental illness as well, which I know doesn't sound very funny, but it's also one of the funniest, weirdest, most creative shows on television. Do yourself a favor, check it out. It gets more and more bizarre as it goes on, but also has these incredible stunt episodes where, for example, last season there was an episode that all took place at a funeral, and it's an animated show, but it was all one scene and basically one shot the entire time.
Wow.
So they play with things that way, too, and it really just blows your mind when they get to an episode like that. I've seen this first half of the season. It's as good as anything else they've done, but still remains funny even here at the end. It's great. Can't recommend it highly enough.
One more time, that's BoJack Horseman on Netflix, and the first half of the final season is dropping today. All right, this is great because here's an actress, Catherine Hahn, who you see in stuff. And you go, I don't know who that is. I think I've seen her before. I have no idea who that is. What did I see her in the past? She is so funny. She's so great at what she does. And she finally has her own show on HBO. It's Mrs. Fletcher. What's going on with this show?
Yeah, this is great because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of people who are huge fans of her, but this is really her chance to shine on a big HBO show. It's debuting Sunday at 10:30 p.m. It's in their comedy block, so it's going to be paired with Silicon Valley, comes back for its final season at 10 p.m. And the idea of the show is that Catherine Hahn is a single mother who's finally sending her kid off to college, and the show sort of goes half and half as he is exploring his sexuality and his independence as he goes off to college. She's doing the same thing alone in her house for the first time since she had her kid. Our reviewer was a little mixed about it, and I've seen mostly mixed reviews, but Catherine Hahn is reliably fantastic. Her half of the story is fantastic. The kid's story doesn't quite work as well, but it's certainly one of those things that because HBO gets all in on series, I think it's going to be worth checking out and following over the course of the season.
Do you know who she is, Wendy Catherine Hahn?
I had to look her up, but she's from here. Yes, I love her.
Oh, she's so good.
But now you're whoever had her, you said someone watched it and had a critique on it. Does that writer of yours on Decider.com have a son who's leaving for college? Because maybe it's like it's not hitting home to her. Because I think I'm going to love this.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way of looking at it. Certainly, it's going to hit people differently if you are a 40-something single mother or 40-something mother who's had to say goodbye to her kids. And again, it's worth checking out, I think, just for Catherine Hahn. And, you know, a ridiculous reason to check out a show, but to support her and make it a hit so she can do more stuff because she's so great.
And that's Mrs. Fletcher on HBO. I'm going to watch that. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alex.
Does her character have an affair with Pete Davidson at any point? Just curious. I'm just wondering.
Well, maybe.
All right, you left it very open-ended. Thank you. The last season of Silicon Valley, a huge hit for HBO over the last several years, and it starts on Sunday, I believe. Right, Alex? Silicon Valley's last season? Yeah,
this is right before Mrs. Fletcher at 10 p.m. This is a merciless parody of everything that's happened in Silicon Valley. Our reviewer, Kayla Cobb, wrote a very nice piece previewing the final sixth season, and not to be too epic about it, but she compared it almost to Shakespearean tragedy. And it's a lot like that, where it's just this main character who's a hapless Mark Zuckerberg type who's accidentally created a tech empire. And over the course of the series, he's lost all of his friends. He's lost all of his trust. He's lost his morals. And we're probably going to see him completely and utterly alone at the end of the series, which is really sad. But Mike Judge and company who have created the show make sure it is funny every single episode out of the gate. So I'm excited / nervous to see how it ends. But if it's anything like Veep, which was very much of the same time period, I think it's going to end really well.
I've never seen it at all. Have you, Bill?
I've not seen it, and I have so much respect for the people who are in it and behind the scenes. I don't know why I'm not watching it. But, yeah, everybody who's watched it has loved it. So it's sad that the show is ending. But like you said, it's ending on a high note, so that's good news.
Yeah, I think so. Then the cast is great.
And never too late to watch something. Like, you can go back and binge it and watch it. That's what I'm hoping to do.
Alex, let's review a couple shows you've talked about in the past few weeks that I've been lucky enough to see, and I've agreed with you all the way. One of them is Living With Yourself. That's the Paul Rudd show that started last week on Netflix. Boy, is that entertaining. I love that.
Yeah, it's super fun, and just Paul Rudd is very charming throughout. You know, it's funny, he did a promotional thing on the show Hot Ones, the talk show online where they go out and they eat hot wings and they talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And that has become a bigger hit, I think, than Living With Yourself, because it's ridiculous and over the top, and people have been memeing little bits of it. But if you have a chance, if you saw the Hot Ones clip, go and check out the actual show itself, because you get two Paul Rudds mixing it up. The main female star, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, but it's something like Aisling B. She's great and engaging as well, and holds her own against Paul Rudd the entire time. It's a fun show.
The other show I want to bring up is, and I know I'm not the target audience for this show by far, but Modern Love is fantastic.
Yeah, that one is really trucking along, and it actually just got picked up for a second season by Prime Video, so you're definitely going to be seeing more of it with more stars. Like we talked about last week, everybody that I have talked to has liked or disliked a different episode. You know, there was one episode with Julia Garner and Shea Wingham, which gave me the creeps.
Yeah.
But one of our other writers, Megan O'Keefe, wrote a very good piece about how she felt like it played out like a horror movie, and that was on purpose the way that the director directed it. So it's been a fascinating one to talk about. There's great rom-coms throughout. There's different stories throughout. And, of course, if you're going in for the stars, you're going to get tons of them.
Big stars.
Where is that? I don't even know what Modern Love is.
It's on Prime, on Amazon Prime. It's an anthology series. It's a different half-hour love story every week. So I read an article where somebody said, I dare you to watch episode 2, that's the Dev Patel episode, and not cry. Oh. And I said, well, let's give that a shot.
I was crying
during the opening credits. I started crying. Couldn't help myself.
That episode is absolutely my favorite one across the board. I think the performances are so wonderful in it. The storytelling is great. But like I said, different people have preferred different things. There's one episode that's about Anne Hathaway dealing with bipolar disorder that I think is extremely well done as well. And that's almost not really about dating relationships at all. So it's a really cool, interesting series to check out.
Just a couple of quick texts, or one or two anyway. Let's see how many I can get in. Dead to Me, is that coming back? That's the Ricky Gervais series, correct?
Dead to Me is the, not the Ricky Gervais series.
Christina Applegate.
Right.
That was a huge hit for Netflix, and that is coming back for a second season.
All right, that's good news. Alex, fun to talk to you. Thanks for all the gossip. I know you don't usually go that way. You're better than that, but thank you for providing that today.
No, I'm doing that from now on. You can check me out at Pete-DavidsonTracker.
Love it.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's Alex Zalbin from Decider.com. A little break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.